Thank you, Brother Minister Naeem Akbar. I really enjoy listening to the few words that I have heard while I was here in the back there from Minister Naeem Akbar. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, peace and blessings be upon His servant and His messenger forever. Ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, we greet you with the greetings of peace, the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. We're very happy to be here this afternoon again on a very beautiful day. We're not going to hold you long today, but it is important that we come out today. We want to go to the Holy Quran and read on Adam and Eve. And quickly, point out the true definition of Adam and Eve in the Bible and in Holy Quran. First, I'll just read the verses as they appear here. This is section 7 of the Holy Quran, chapter 20, at verse 1, beginning with verse 116. It reads, "When we said to the angels, 'Prostrate yourselves to Adam,' they prostrated themselves, but not Iblis. He refused." Now this Iblis, you read it Iblis. The correct pronunciation is Iblis. Is another name for the devil, arch-enemy of man. Says he refused. Verse 117 says, "Then we said, 'O Adam, verily this is an enemy to you and your wife. So let him not get you both out of the garden, so that you are landed in misery.' There is therein enough provision for you not to go hungry, nor to go naked, nor to suffer from thirst, nor from the sun's heat. But Satan whispered evil to him. He said, 'O Adam, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity and to a kingdom that never decays?'" Now we read through 1 verse 116 through 120 on Adam in chapter 20 of the Holy Quran. And here you see here a similar reading to that that you find in the Genesis, early part of Genesis, of Adam and Eve in the garden and the forbidden tree and the devil who came up to him. The only thing here, you see that the snake is not used here. Only the term enemy, arch-enemy of man, is used, not the snake. And there is a few things said about the devil's promise that help us understand what promise he was making. It says, "Shall I lead you to the tree of eternity, to a kingdom that never decays?" In the Bible, the snake promises Adam and Eve eternal life. But here in the Holy Quran, the thing that is identified here is not so much life in the individual, but it's a kingdom that never decays. The Holy Quran is clearing up the hazy or hard to understand reading that you find in Genesis. Now let us quickly point out exactly what we're talking about here. First, God says this is a new being that God had created called Adam. And this Adam is the person, the inner body, not the physical body, but the inner body. People differ one from each other, or one from another, by what inside the physical body. And men differ from animals, from apes, by what inside the physical body. So here, the scripture is telling us that it was the will of God to create in the physical body a divine being, or a divinely made creature called Adam. This refers to your mind, your thinking mind. The object here of the divine creator is to make a thinking mind that grows in divine characteristics. If something should influence this mind to take it out of that desire to grow in divine characteristics, then the mind will begin to die. That is, die out of the form that God intended for it. Not that it would die physically, but you know in the Bible, Adam ate the fruit of the forbidden tree that was given to him by Eve, but they both went on living according to the Bible Genesis. Is that correct? They didn't die physically. They continued to live. But they had been warned beforehand that in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. So they had been told that in the day that they ate of that fruit, they would surely die. So how come the book didn't say, well, and they died? The book doesn't say that. Why? Because it's not talking about physical bodies. It's talking about the mind and the divine, the righteous disposition of that mind. When they start listening to evil whispers of the devil, people who are outside of the righteous body or righteous family of people, start taking their thoughts and living their ways of life, then they begin to die as a divinely created being. Let's continue now and see, can we clear this up here? Now we come to Eve here, his wife, Eve. In Bible interpretation, we find Eve refers to the passion, that is, the desires in your physical body for food, clothes, shelter, a mate to mate with, that is, sex life. And sometimes these things can be turned into ugly or vicious desires, appetites. If we don't get what we want, many times it will drive us to madness, and we will forget all of our fine human principles and characteristics, and we'll come out raving like an animal. And we'll begin to destroy and do anything we can to satisfy the urges of our physical body. Is that right? That is, if the man is not mature, if the man is not morally mature. If he is not morally matured, then he is subject to be given to the forces of his own physical body, and those forces will turn him into something less than the man that he is created to be, you understand? Now, let's continue to read now. But Satan whispered evil to him. Now, who is this Satan? The religious people have been spooked up in the churches and in the synagogues and mosques too. Many times they spook the people up, making them think that Satan is some invisible ghost that sneaks around and hoovers around waiting for an opportunity to come into your life and take it over, or to lead you to do something bad. There is no Satan outside of your body, unless that Satan is inside somebody else's body. And when you speak of a devil inside of another person's body, you're not talking about something that has independent existence outside of that person. If there's a devil in me, then that devil has grown in me. It has come to birth on something that started within me. Lies, weak ideas, wrong thinking. This begins to grow a particular disposition in me. Pretty soon, my disposition is one of evil and wickedness. And if that continues to grow, then I will take the form of a devil. So when we speak of men and women as physical bodies, we refer to them as male and female. But when we speak of men and women as persons, we refer to them as men and women, or ladies and gentlemen. Is that right? Likewise for devil. When we are speaking of a devil, we are not talking about something physical. We are talking about the person within the physical body. Now, how can you destroy a devil? You destroy a devil by destroying that mind that that person has come into. If you can destroy that mind, you will destroy that devil. But as long as that person keeps the same mind, they will be the same devil. Now, you may say, well, oh, it must be more to that, more than that, to the destruction of a devil. Would you agree with me that devils should be destroyed just as human beings are destroyed? I would say yes. Now, how do you destroy a human being? By killing him physically? No. If a human being has become powerful as a human being, you can't kill him by killing him physically. Many people who grew powerful as human beings, that means as a mind, as an influence on the world, and they were killed physically, but they lived on mentally and historically in the world to rule the world even after they had been killed physically. So we know you can stop the person from moving in his physical body by killing that physical body. But that person, if he has reached others, if his influence is in the world, you have to kill his mind before the world. Then if you kill his mind before the world has to give up his mind. Is that right? Let's quickly now reflect on the Bible's teaching about the killing of a devil. The Bible never told us that the devil is going to be killed by any physical destruction. The book says that the beast shall be taken and without hands. You don't have to put your hands on it. The book says also that the devil shall be destroyed, or that beast, that Satan, will go down in a lake of fire. When we learn the true interpretation of lake of fire, we learn that lake, from the reading the Bible, we learn that lake refers to a body of people that are not like seawater or salt water, a sweet water body of people. You know, lake is what we call sweet water. Ocean is what we call salty water. And seas are salty water. So the church people are distinguished from the synagogue people in the term sweet water. Jesus called the Jews dead letter people. And the history, the Bible history, teaches us that the Jew was called a sea people, a salty people. And the use of salt is still in their religious rituals and ceremonies. Is that right? They use the kosher salt to kosher their meat. So they are people who have gotten a ritualistic practice that involves using the salt, but still identify them as those people that were called the salt water people. Salt water means materialistic. Salt, when you let the water dry out or boil the water out, you'll find the salt there as solid, right? You see, and when you put the salt in, it's solid, right? The water makes it break up and it dissolves, and you can't see it in there. But what it actually means, to make it short, we're trying to round this up here in about 30 minutes if we can. It means that these people have mixed in with their religious thinking for the development, for the building up and development of the person within, that is the mind. They have mixed in material things, material interests. Material interest is good as an outside thing. If we want material wealth for clothes, for shelter, for cities, for transportation, for banks and strong societies, that's good. But if we want material wealth to satisfy a human appetite that's in us, to replace the thing that human appetite naturally calls for, and that's human elevation, then we become unnatural. I hope you can follow what I'm saying. We become unnatural. Some people, they get their mind and their heart so fixed on getting something material that they dream about the material thing. They fall in love with the material thing. It becomes something dearer to them than wife, than children, than truth, than anything else. Well, now, this material thing has come into his mental and spiritual makeup. Is that right? Now, the material thing is materializing the mind and morality and spirit of the person. Can you understand what I'm saying? Then the person becomes materialized. They call it materialistic. Is that right? A materialistic person. Well, the word materialistic, that term is not hot enough. That's why I use the expression materialized. Many people are materialistic, but they are not materialized. When you become materialized, then according to the scripture, you are dead. Let's continue to read here now. So Satan said, "Shall I lead you to the tree of eternity?" Now the commentator here, he gives his commentary on what the tree means, this term tree means. You read another translator and he will give you his commentary. You read Bible preachers, they give you theirs. All of them have some truth. But exactly what the tree is talking about is people. People have long for ancient, way back into time, have been referred to as trees. Today we refer to people as races to distinguish one from another. Ancient people referred to them as trees. People who differed sharply, where we could distinguish the difference in their livelihood and in their way of life, their culture and whatnot, from another people, they were called trees. Families and trees. The family of this man who led them into that way of life are the tree of this particular way of life. So here, we have here the word tree referring to a body of people, and it includes all people who worship material accumulation. They call them, in ancient days, they were called fertility worshipers. They worship the abundance, the power in the physical earth to create abundance of life. Right today in this present day world, we have still the practice of fertility worship in the Easter holiday ritual or celebration. They buy little rabbits, chocolate rabbits, and Easter eggs, right? The egg is a symbol of fertility. The rabbit is a symbol of fertility. Rabbits produce abundantly. They are what they call fast breeders. Rabbits are very fast breeders. So the rabbit there is still in the Easter, preserved or kept from ancient times, in the time when these people of this certain tree worship the powers in the physical world to produce abundant fruit, abundant life. They were what we call materialists of ancient times. But the book, this Bible, Holy Quran and Bible, tell us that these pagans are ancient materialist people would remain on earth. Their influence would remain. And they would grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and these people would come into the religion and gain control over the religion. And they would be sitting in the houses of religion, preaching religion to the people, but they would still be, in reality, pagans, our materialistic people. So the forbidden tree is nothing but the body of people that were at that time fertility worshipers, who cared more about eating a lot physically than about eating a lot mentally, morally, and spiritually. And it says that, in the Bible, says that the tree, it bore the fruit of good and evil. Is that right? Now, we know that people produce both good and evil. And when we study the knowledge of a people, we find both good and evil in their knowledge. Is that correct? No matter how evil the knowledge of a people is, you always can find some good in that knowledge, right? Well, this is the fruit of that of the people. The fruit of a people is the knowledge of that people. Are you following me? I hope you are. Okay, so a people that bear fruit, they bear knowledge. And that knowledge exists in their book, in their history, and is preserved in their history, in what we call the history of that people. Now, the Adam here, this man, the godly people, were told not to go to these idol worshipers, not to mix with them, don't associate with them, don't go to them for guidance, don't eat of their fruit, don't eat of their knowledge product, because if the day you start eating from their knowledge, you will become like them, because their knowledge is the printed form or the verbal form of something that was in them. It's in them ruling them and making them what they are. If you take on that knowledge, it will come into you and rule you and make you what they are. Does that make sense? I hope you understand. All I want to say is this book, Bible and Holy Quran, are plain speaking books. They are talking about plain truth, plain simple truth, facts that no one can dispute with once the true meaning is given to them. Don't think they are books of magic tricks, great miracles. No, they are talking about real things. Both books are talking about real life. Okay, let's continue here now. So this tree, Satan said, this tree would never decay. Men, the Holy Quran mentions many times the material life, materialistic life, as a life that people think will never go away. They think this is forever. Rich people, you know, they think they're rich forever. You don't believe it? Go and talk to rich people. Most of the rich people, they just comfort. They're rested in their riches, and they think that, oh, this is forever. The Holy Quran refers to it as eternal life. So they think that their riches will give them eternal life. When the Wall Street crash came, look what happened to those rich people. They start jumping out windows. Some of them are right up out there on Madison Street right now. Skid Row. Incorrigible alcoholics. So it shows you just how much you can be affected by outside influence. Now, you know, in science and biology, they tell you that something that belongs outside of the creature, if you put it in, it will destroy him. Excretion is something that the body naturally pushes out. If you don't have a poison for a creature, just feed him his own excretion, and you will kill it, you see. Now, the material world is something that naturally belongs outside of us. If you feed that into your personal makeup, it's going to destroy you. I'm not teaching against wealth now. I'm giving you the proper understanding of yourself. Let's read here, it says here, and we said to the angels, prostrate yourself to Adam. The Holy Quran begins here by saying the angels were made to bow to Adam. And then Adam turned around and listened to the devil. Now, why should a being that was made so superior that even the angels bow to him, why should that being now listen to a devil who speaks to him from a low position? The devil never speaks to a man from a high position. The devil in the Bible and the Holy Quran never says, I am in heaven. And man, if you want to come up here, I'll show you the way. The devil is always speaking like this in the Bible and Holy Quran, I'm in hell and you in hell. But I'll show you how to get in heaven. So he's always pictured as a creature that's on a low plane, on a low level. And no evil person, no totally evil person, gets started from above. He always gets started on a low level. He never comes to you and appeal to your higher sense of respect, dignity, and your higher. He never calls upon your moral strength. He never speaks to your highest principles. He always speaks to your weakness in order to get you to accept some evil intent or to help him get some evil over. Is that right? He may be a PhD, a doctor of some science, but he won't appeal to you from the strength of his science if he want to lead you into corruption. He appealed to you from a low level. He has to first get you to accept or get you to become interested and being weak before he can sell you his evil product. Now, Eve in the book, in the Hebrew language, is called Hava. In the Arabic language, is Hawa. And it means hot or active, lively air. Lively air. This is a poetic word. The poets use this kind of description to identify the desires in us for material things, the flesh desires. As the book says, the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's not that the flesh itself is weak. The flesh as flesh is not weak. But willpower, when it gives itself to the forces of flesh, become weak. There's nothing wrong with flesh. God made flesh right. He made it strong and right. It's good. It does its job. It's not here to lead you. You are made to lead it. Now, if you start letting it lead you, don't blame the flesh. Don't say that flesh is bad. You are silly and foolish. A great ruler put into flesh body and let the flesh rule him. The sin is in the person, not in the flesh. You know, some people look at animals and start following animals. I mean, it's a fact. There have been cases reported where men have sat and watched certain animals, then began to go out and try to imitate those animals. Now, we know that men are superior to animals. Men have put animals in cages, is that right? Have turned the jungles into cities. But still, there are men who will watch an animal and imitate that animal. He'll watch an ape, and he'll want to be like the ape. He'll watch a dog in a practiced dog way. I'm telling you what is recorded. What people have observed, and it has been recorded.